Thank you, Abby. Thank you, children. It's wonderful being in God's house today, to come and to worship Him and just be able to come and gather His house. And the Bible calls it a house of prayer. Really focus on that on Wednesday nights, but it is always His house of prayer in His house. Amen? And that's what we come together this morning. And a couple of things I wanted to mention as far as prayer and have a little time of prayer before we dive into the Word this morning is just need to keep in mind, Lori Hamilton, she's been having some trouble, went to the doctor, hospital, found potassium levels low, trouble swallowing, she's still there having some testing and things, so just pray for Lori this morning and her family in a special way. Also, Colette has surgery coming up on Thursday, so pray for her as she goes through that. Got to prepare the surgery, everything goes smoothly. So thankful that Candy's surgery went well, and she's back with us today, so we're thankful for that. And pray Deborah's in the wrong spot today in the back. Thank Jessica for always giving us sermon. But as I mentioned Wednesday night, Deborah has been diagnosed with Ramsey-Hunt disease, and that's just a name of it. Basically, it's like the shingles virus coming out in your eardrum and in your face, and a lot of pain, a lot of dizziness. So just pray for healing and God's touch there. And also, as I mentioned last Sunday night and on Wednesday also, just be in prayer for Brother Brian. Kind of exciting. He was telling me more this morning, but there's a stem cell treatment that has been known really help, especially in his particular scenario with MS, and excited about that. But as a lot of those things are, insurance doesn't cover it. And so he's kind of began that process of just asking that we pray, and he's praying and reaching out to see how God maybe can help. And I talked to Brian a little bit this morning, and we're just going to plan on having him one Sunday evening soon to kind of do his testimony. Brian's got a powerful testimony and tell you a little bit more about that and what he feels like God is doing that so we can come alongside him. So be in prayer, maybe how God could use you to help in that way, to help that make that possible. And you'll be hearing more about that in the future. But also Pat's home with bronchitis today, so I want to pray for her. Many, many more, but let's just bow together. Many of you are on our prayer list, and continue to pray for Byron and for Dennis and for Greg and so many, Lord. And we just come to you now, Lord, with very humble hearts. And we're just so thankful, Lord, for the gift and the power of prayer. Lord, I thank you, Lord, just apart from your grace and mercy and your power, the breath of life in each heartbeat, Lord, we'd not be here today. Lord, it's so wonderful to be in your house. And we come to give you glory and honor. As we saw Wednesday night, Lord, you simply ask that we be your servants and that we bring glory to your name and prepare us to leave here and go out and do that today. And Lord, I do pray, Lord, that you would be with Deborah, Lord, and that you would touch and that you would cause, Lord, this to go into remission, Lord, and for the symptoms especially of the dizziness and the pain, Lord, and for Byron and Dennis, that you continually, Lord, to use their treatment and their walking through their cancer, Lord. You strengthen their bodies, Lord, and that you might meet their needs. We praise you for successful service of Miss Candy. And, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you be with Brian, Lord. And, Lord, you appear to be opening this door. And we know, Lord, that if you're opening the door, that, Lord, you'll provide the needs, Lord. And so we just ask, Lord, that you begin to move upon hearts and you begin to open doors and do things that, Lord, that are exceedingly abundantly above all that Brian or this church could imagine. And they'll let you use us in the coming weeks to come alongside and to help, if it be thy will, for this, Lord, for Pat at home sick today, Lord, that you would touch her in a special way. Lord, I pray for Lori there at the hospital, Lord, just the trouble she's having, Lord, the way she feels, those potassium levels for her swallowing, dear God, and just for all, and use the doctors and nurses, and touch your family, Lord, and restore her body soon. I pray for Greg, you bring healing in his foot, Lord, and you just continue, Lord, to move on all those on our prayer list, Lord. I've not mentioned them all, and there's obviously great need that I don't know aware of today, but Lord, I pray that peace that passes understanding, Lord, might come and just flood hearts and souls. And Lord, I pray for the power of your Spirit, Lord, to bring an anointing upon each of us on our minds and our hearts and our souls, that you might prepare us for your word. Lord, we are so thankful for your word this morning. And Lord, for those that are lost here today, those on our family and friends that are lost list, Lord, we just pray that, Lord, our lights might shine so brightly that you draw them to your saving grace, dear Jesus. And Lord, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hope you have your Bibles today. Turn with me to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going back. We took a little week off last week in a different direction with our Bible buddies. But 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1. Let's just turn back together and we'll read and be kind of reminded, and we're going to move forward. We're excited about what God's going to show us today in His Word. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1. If you're physically able, join me to stand and read and honor His Word. 1 Kings 19, beginning of verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. And dear Lord, once again, we are so thankful for your word. Lord, anoint the hearing and anoint, Lord, as I try to share your message, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let me see it. Began a few Sundays ago talking about here in chapter 19. And if you really look down in verse 12, if you would kind of have the title of what we've been looking at and the subject, what we've been thinking about, verse 12, if you look with me in chapter 19, it says, "And after earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice." Talking about that still small voice that God uses. And remember, the Bible is clear, telling us continually that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That still small voice hadn't changed. And I made the statement, I think the first Sunday we looked at this, is that we all have the same greatest need, and that is that we have a need to walk closer with the Lord. Amen? But if we know that's a need, and the Bible bears that out, our personal testimonies bear out that we're all needing that this given day and every day, then we need to be able to hear His voice each step of the way. Amen? We need to hear His voice, and it being a still small voice, I was reminded just this morning as I was studying some more and I was praying that, boy, hasn't the devil worked his schemes, as the Bible says, and hadn't he worked our world out in such a way that there are really so many more distractions now than there ever been, so many other voices that it makes it even more difficult for us to hear that still small voice. For some reason this morning I was thinking about, you know, years ago, how if someone was living afar off, you know, the ability was you couldn't even call that person. You imagine that today. We can pick up the phone right now. Many of you got your phones right at the ready there with you, and you could pull them out, and you could basically call anywhere in this world where somebody else has access to a phone. But there was a time when you wanted to get a message to someone, barring the ability through, you know, Morse code or some kind of a very extreme thing, what would they do? They would write a letter. You'd sit down and you'd have paper and you'd get your pencil or you'd get your pen out or your quill and you would write a letter and that would make its way to the person. I remember reading, love often to, in the past have read about great presidents and men of our time such as Theodore Roosevelt, and he was just such a man's man, and such a, you know, politics was only a part of his life, it didn't consume his life. And but he would have a ranch, he would be in New York and being Washington, but he had farm ranch land out in the Midwest, and he would travel by train, and then he would travel by horse and buggy, and then by horse he'd ride there, and many times the letters would arrive for letting him know of news that was very urgent or very things that were changing with his family or whatever. And you think about the time that would transpire to get a letter. Fast forward to today. My goodness, you want to get a note off somebody, you're going to send them an email, you're going to send them a text message, and immediately they're going to have that message. So Satan really has, of all the benefits that come to that, and by the way, it's been years ago, I remember I had one of those neat, everybody remember the old flip phone, just a wonderful, you could depend on it, little flip phone, flip that thing up, works just fine. Man, you know, I want to get me another one of those, because I remember, never came to church one Sunday, Mike, and somebody gave me a box, And in a box, it was a brand new BlackBerry. And I thought, man, I'd seen those things, and those are new, and those are fancy. And you usually think when somebody gives you a gift, they love you, Abby. That's a love gift. I'm not sure that person really loved me. Because all of a sudden, I started to realize this. All of a sudden, they set it up for me, and then blasted emails started arriving there on my side. And I always used this before. Somebody would say, preacher, I sent you an email. Oh, I ain't been to my desk in days. When I finally get back to my desk, get to my computer, I might see your email. And there they are coming to me. That's another story. But think about it. So what Satan has done is what can be beneficial and helpful. He's used it to really distract us. He really is getting this stuff going. Think about a letter, I thought this morning, is when you wrote somebody a letter, and even if it was a good or a bad letter, God had time to be working on your heart, working on the other heart, and maybe when they got the letter and they read it, then God had time to work on that heart. As that other letter, they might return back to you right back. God had some time to be working, and now you get instant messages all the time, and there's no time for God's voice to be entered. Amen? There's no time for God's voice. Do you realize if you're having marriage trouble and if you go to see a Christian, emphasize Christian marriage counselor, one of the first things that they will tell a couple in this day of time is completely stop communicating with electronics, with texting especially. Do not text one another anymore. And you can have the most strong marriage in the world, strong relationship, even a good business relationship with someone, and you get the wrong little message off that's interpreted the wrong way and not understood, you got trouble. Amen? And the problem is that what we're focused on here is that we have got to give God time. We've got to get away from the distractions, and we've got to hear that still small voice. And we're going to have to do practical things this day and time we live to build that in, amen, to build that time in. I mean, when you get that text, when you get that email, when you see that Facebook post, when you see that picture popped up on Instagram, take a moment before you get upset and respond, good or bad, and say, hey, maybe God has something to say. No, there's no maybe about it. Really, the Word of God bears out that God has a word to say about every choice that we make. You know how I know that, Aaron? Because there's one day that I'm going to be in heaven and I'm going to give an account on the judgment day of every word and everything. Every word. Oh, come on, preacher. Every word. God has full understanding of why I did it that way or what happened. God understands the environment we live in. Yeah, God understands, and He speaks continually about how we must slow down. We looked as we began the first passage, the first message that we preached about this was that what we find with Elijah is that he had experienced a great time of God, a great victory of God, and we've been coming out of revival and thinking about the great time we had in revival and thinking about oftentimes, or really most often, on some of your best times, you need to realize that Satan's going to attack, and that's what happened to Elijah. You ever had a great morning? You wake up and say, man, I feel unusually good today. Starting off well, man, things are good at home. Everything's running smoothly, and you get to work, and I mean the wheels fall off. I mean, something has happened outside of your control or something happened that you forgot about. I used to work in a business where we did payrolls for companies. And you'll know something about, one thing you learn quickly about payroll is you deal with people's money, and boy, you can get people upset in a hurry. Amen? And I look at some of you, and your check's been messed up, and you've been mad too. God forgive you of how you reacted about that. But I remember I'd be working with a new customer. That's what I work with often. And I remember that, you know, oftentimes in just the rush of the day and just the excitement of the day, and that's kind of what Elijah was experiencing. Elijah was in the rush of what God was doing, the excitement of things that were going on. But all of a sudden, all that excitement got over, and he got quiet, he got alone, he began to have time to think. And then that messenger comes from Jezebel, I'm going to take your life like you took my prophet's lives. I'm coming after you. So in the quietness and the distractions going to busyness, then all of a sudden he's able to be consumed with Satan's voice. And we're going to see today how he makes a turn and begins to hear finally from God's voice. But in my work setting, I remember that's how it'd be. Man, I'd get up in the morning, drove an hour to Charlotte, work all day, and sometimes it was year end or quarter begin, and all new customers were coming. And if you work in a county, you understand that kind of environment, so it's busy. Maybe work late at night, drive back home an hour, grab a quick bite to eat, do the stuff at house. You know how your lives are, amen? But then you lay down, and sometimes be just so exhausted. If you're really blessed and you get it off your mind, you fall fast asleep. Man, thank God for sleep, amen? So many times, you know, I'm thankful I just escaped to sleep, amen? And when you can't sleep, it's trouble. But I remember times that I'd wake up, I mean, just awake, just almost come out of the bed, Miss Margaret, about 2 a.m. And just, I mean, just as clear as if I had a piece of paper in front of me, I would wake up and I'd think, oh, my goodness. I've just totally messed up that company's payroll. I have put in one little code that is wrong, Brother Marty. I've put in one thing that's wrong, and everybody's 401k deduction is going to be wrong. It's going to be bad. The whole thing is going to be wrong. And I'm going to get back to work in the morning. I know it's going to be wrong. Then you start praying. It'll increase your prayer life in a hurry. It won't work. Do that for you. Any other problems? I started praying, oh, God, help me be wrong. And I'm thinking, God, the Holy Spirit said, no, I woke you up to tell you that you were wrong. You are wrong. And you better be getting ready to get into work. And, man, I'm telling you, get in and Mr. Customer, oh, yeah, brand new customer, we're really glad to have you. And, by the way, I'm going to be late coming to bring you your payroll today. What? Because I messed up. I messed it up. But see, the picture of that is, in the still of the night, often you wake up, amen? Me and Miss Margaret were talking not long ago. She was talking about Brother John, and sometimes that he'll wake up in the middle of the night and know what's going on, and God's letting him know, like a Saturday night, to change his message. She was even sharing how a young single preacher she knew of one time had shared the schedule with them, and how he had it all lined out. He got everything done. And Miss Margaret said, I kind of wish John would do that. It doesn't work. Life doesn't work that way, right? Randy, I think of you and others who, man, you just never know what's going to happen on any given day. But all of us have this at some point in a 24-hour period, most likely, things are going to calm down a little, and it's either going to be time to sleep or we're sleeping or we'll woke up. And there, Sandy, we begin to maybe hear it a little clearer. So that's what was happening to Elijah. He's having all this trouble. He's distracted. And then we look, and if you will, we get down to verse 4. Look very closely with me. In verse 4, we find a turning point, if you would. In verse 4 it said, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came, sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it's enough now. Now catch these two words. He says, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. Now, what God, throughout all his word, is trying to get us to do, and wanted Elijah to do in this case, just like he wants us in every case, he wants us to be prepared to hear his still small voice. He wants us to know that those troubles are coming, those problems are arising, that those reminders of things are coming in our mind, that the world is distracted. We must be prepared to listen to his voice. We must be devoted that we want to see him, want to hear him, want to listen to everything that he has to say. So if I went in verse 4 here, and you might want to underline that or highlight that or make a note, that, oh Lord, is really a turning point. It's really a turning point because what Elijah is doing, of all that he was scared of, the good days were gone, it seemed. The bad days had come, and he was scared to death, and he just wanted to die. But at this turning point, he simply says, oh Lord, what's he do? The turning point is he calls out to the Lord. It's a turning point. It really makes sense. It's common sense. I mean, you know, he's going to call out to the Lord, and that is exactly what God wants us to do. And what he did, and notice what he's doing here. He tells God that he wants to die, and you may say, oh, well, you can't, that's not what you do. You turn to God and pray God and believe that God will make everything better. No, this is as you're going down through life, God wants you to have a turning point where you turn to him and you say, you pause amidst the business and say, oh, Lord. And at that point, it's okay to tell him how you're feeling, what's going on, what you want. Do you realize how I can tell you that's okay? No, I'm going to show you. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to show you in the Word of God. It's okay because that's what Jesus did. Jesus had the same turning point. Now, look with me if you turn in Matthew 26:39. Keep your ribbon or put your bulletin or a hand here in 1 Kings 19. But go to Matthew 26:39. And some of you are ahead of me. I better catch up. Matthew 26:39. So, listen, we're talking about a turning point. We're talking about calling out to God. And what we find Jesus doing in this prayer time in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in chapter 26 of Matthew, in verse 39, the Bible says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father. See the connection? Elijah's saying, oh, Lord. Jesus says, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup passed from me. We'll stop there a moment. Jesus is doing the same thing that Elijah. Jesus is not being super spiritual. Jesus is not telling God what he wants to know. Jesus hadn't got all prepared and praying the eloquent words and asking for the same thing. Jesus is telling the Father, here's how I feel. And God, this is what's going on. And God, this is what I want to happen. This in all my heart's what I feel like I want to happen in my life. Y'all, that's good stuff. Don't miss that. That's the turning point. That you can go to God and be reminded. You say, God, hey, and maybe sometimes you feel like dying and giving up. Amen. It's okay. That's what Elijah will say. Oh, Lord, here's how I feel. Give it all to him. We don't spend near enough time getting away from the distractions and just going to God and saying, oh, Lord, here's how I feel. Here's what I wish would happen. God, I wish you'd do this. I need you, God, and I even want to give up like Elijah did. But the problem is we find here in verse 39 of Matthew 26, there's an immediate second step when you turn to God. When you go from the oh Lord and pour it out to him, there's an immediate second step, and that is simply found when Jesus says what? Read it with me. He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as I will. Now, don't miss this. So Elijah, there's this turning point in his life, and really God was really constraining me. I want to move on through several scriptures today, but he really was just kept giving me a stop button, if you would, because what the point here is Elijah made that turning point, and many people make a turning point of saying, oh, Lord, and then telling God all that's going on and what they'd like to have happen. But they don't take this second step, and this second step is an immediate needed one to hear that still small voice. When you go to God and say, oh, Lord, I need you, then God is just waiting with all the power and all his love and grace and mercy, all the answer, oh, Lord, and he's so excited. And then he says that what we have to do is completely surrender all of what we wanted and didn't want and all we just said early and say, God, but as Jesus prayed, not what I want to happen and not what I even feel like I want to do, good or bad, but I want what you want. That's what we're looking for. Now don't miss that. I can't tell you how many Sundays we're praying for someone over the years. Just praying for just praying they'll turn to God. Amen. Just praying for that turning point. And then at times you'll even see someone and just in an invitation time and it excites me and it excites you because there comes that person and they're bending that knee and they're praying and you're like, hallelujah, that's it. It's going to be Elijah, the angels will touch and feed. It's going to be Jesus all over again. It may not get better in their life, but they'll have victory in Jesus and all. But something happens, amen. It's happened to you, and it's happened to me, and it's happened to countless people. It's the turning to God. It's the talking to God. I can't even imagine some of the heartache and the anguish. But I've literally, in my ministry, seen people that do that. They seem to turn to God, but they will not do that second and most important step to say, at this point, God, I'm really turning to you. And God, this is what you want. I'm going to dive into your word. I'm going to get godly counsel. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And I'm going to do, God, no more what I want. I'm going to do what you want. Brother Scott, in our Sunday school lesson, I was sharing as I was leaving how something's connected. He just mentioned going through some great difficulties this year, coming to a revival in the springtime and really coming to the point of just doing all he could from talking about it and fussing about it sweating about it and all and just finally realizing, God, I got to give it all to you. God will give it all to you. But oftentimes, as we said in our Sunday school class, it's a Sunday morning thing. Terry made comments. You heard a preacher say one time that, you know, we come to the altar, we lay it down at the cross of Jesus, and we say, Jesus, I'm giving it to you. I'm calling out to you, and here it is. And then as we're walking away, I love this picture, Terry, walking away, we're looking, now, God, what, you know, I left that right there. You need to get that. Now, God, all right, God, I'm going to come back and get it because you're not doing anything. I made the comment a lot of times on Sunday as people say, I came to church, doggone it. I came to church. I went to that altar or between the pew. I called out and I said, oh, Lord, I told God what was going on and nothing's happened. It's time for bed Sunday night or it's Monday morning. God hadn't done anything, so God, I am taking it back and, you know, I'm going on. You see the difference? When Jesus shows the example, so it's not just enough turning point about Elijah did, but we must take that step. It's not my will, God. It's what you. I'll surrender. I'm ready to listen. I'm going to be prepared now, God, for your still small voice. Because I studied, I was reminded that, you know, it's hard to hear walking away. Amen. You ask my wife. Our hearing is getting bad. I mean, I guess, you know, we're not that old, and don't say amen. But I can tell you one thing, and we do it each other all the time. Somebody saying something, and the other, we're walking away because we're busy, right? We're walking away. And the farther I get away from her voice, you know what I found? The less I hear it and understand Miss Loretta. And same way with her. You know, she's upstairs. I hear her upstairs. I start talking to her. Next thing I know, she's yelling from downstairs. That's what happens with God. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, I need you. Oh, Lord, this is what I want. And then we go on. We're busy. We're very busy. And I've been in that mode, y'all. Many of you have been in that mode, and you find yourself in that mode this morning. And that mode is this. We're too busy to take that second step of surrendering and preparing and do what it takes for God to touch us. So look with me in verse 5. So in verse 5 of our passage there in 1 Kings, we find really what we need to focus on for a moment this morning is that's this. Verse 5 has the statement that an angel touched him. Now remember what happened in verse 4. In verse 4, Elijah had called out to God, and then Elijah had stayed at the place that he called out to God. He hadn't gone to get help to go after the Jezebel. He hadn't gone to see any friends. I really believe that in complete physical, emotional, and spiritual exhaustion, Elijah, the very place where he had left it with God, that was his surrender. He couldn't go, he couldn't do any more. Talk to anybody else, go any farther, do anything. And because he was willing, first of all, to have a turning point and call out to God, and second of all, to really surrender and not go and do anything that so often in the Bible in our lives, you see, man, you know, I'll give somebody advice. They'll call me, and I'll be giving them scripture, and I'll be trying to help them. And but I mean, the phone's not even cooled off. It's like the call's not even been disconnected, all of us. I go in for 5 or 10 minutes. Somebody calls me back and says, "You ain't going to believe what brother or sister so-and-so just did." And I'm like, no, you got to be wrong. I just talked to them a few minutes ago because they were needing help. And they were talking, oh, you're not going to believe what they just did. But Elijah, he just right there. And by doing that, church, God sent an angel to touch him. God sent an angel to touch him. And so simply this, and if you want or make a note or you want to think about this, keep a thought in your mind, we've got to be sensitive to the touch of God. If I had to give you just a clear explanation of what I think it really is showing us in verse 5, as come to verse 4, is there's a desperate need that we be sensitive to the touch of God. And that's what's happened to Elijah. He had a turning point. He showed his surrender by not going any farther than where God was at. And then all of a sudden, here's the time. God sends an angel to touch him. And the time we've got left, I'm going to do my best to show you in Scripture. I don't know how far we'll get this morning, but I'm telling you that how we can understand this still happens. And you say, well, preacher, wait a minute. I've followed God. I've done this, but I've never had an angel touch me, wake me up from my sleep, and there be something in the kitchen baking in the oven, some good old hot bread, and there's some cool cold water on the counter. Well, I'm just going to tell you this. I'll show you scripture-wise where God will give you something better than that. Y'all all right? God will give you something better than that, because I know plenty of times people battling cancer, battling disease, they have no appetite. God took it away. That they can't even eat anything, but God will feed them. The hand of God will touch them in the night hour, in the day hour, but you got to be sensitive to the touch. It kind of comes along this. So the first thing, and you say, preacher, this is getting a little too complicated. Well, it's not complicated. Our lives in this world is what's complicated. So what we're saying is, first you got to have that turn to God. I hope that helps you, because as much as it breaks my heart, I've had people that I really felt like had called out to God. I'd spent an entire day, trying to pour Christ in Scripture, and then come down to this simple statement. I said, but it's simply this. The best way I can tell you, the only thing I figured out is, if you really want to hear God's still small voice, you want to get to hear him, I said, then this Wednesday, we're going to start at 7. We'll only be there an hour. Just come in your work clothes, come as you are. We're going to pray for others, and reminded that the turning point in the book of Job is when all that Job had gone through, in the end it says that he prayed for his friend, beginning to pray for others. So just come on Wednesday. I said, I'll do my best. You'll pray for me. We'll open the Word of God, and we'll try to get a word from God during a short Bible study. So we're going to talk to God, listen to God. That is just very simple. It'll be an hour. You might have to go back to work. Yeah, I have had times where I've had gentlemen standing here, and y'all don't know about it, but they come in work. You think, man, they tired. They got here at church, and they go, this preacher, yeah, we just broke away from the job. Man, it's a mess. I don't know how long we're going to work, but we're going to head back. I said, tell that young man, I said, listen, just come. I said, come. And then Sunday, come at 10 o'clock, or back then it was, now it's 9:30. Come at 9:30, and 9:45 we'll start in, and we'll have Sunday school. Teach a lesson. I said, we'll go into a worship hour. We'll praise God. We'll look at his word again. And then on Sunday night, we'll come back and we'll praise him again. We'll look at his word. I said, read the Proverbs, read Psalms, get you a good devotion. I said, that's all I'm going to tell you. I said, that's 4 hours out of 168 God gives us in a week. I said, start there. And I can't tell you how many times I say that, y'all. And what the scary thing is, most often, when someone is in great need to hear the still small voice of God and need to be able to surrender and really then need to feel and be just need his touch like never before, will not do one single thing on the list. We don't have anything else to give others, y'all, other than the Word of God. In the best way. You say, preacher, do you have to do that to hear God? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just telling you, based on from 10 years old to 52 years old being saved and pastoring for 20 years, I've just found out that works. That works. And that it'll help you hear a still small voice. But we've got to be sensitive to that touch. So look at me, it says also a second time in verse 7, probably more importantly to bring it all together, in verse 7 it paints that picture, and it adds to it, and it says that then an angel touched him, and it, as I said in verse 5, but in verse 7 it paints the picture of this. It says, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him. I wish there was some way I could open your heart up and look in and just see all that's going on right now. And then just be able to take God's word and just you be able to sense God just touch you and give you a peace. So often we celebrate, you know, celebrate now with Scott. That's he did that, I think, on a Sunday night, a revival. And Monday, God touched. God literally touched and did something. And as great as that is, the first thought I had, though, Scott, was so oftentimes that it doesn't happen that way. And I was quick to say, but the greatest thing to that fact of God's touch is that when he touches you, remember what we talked about this morning, when you have that turning point, when you really call out to him, and the way you know you've called out to him is that you really surrender right where you're at. I remember I probably was one of the hardest people in the world to work for. At one time, the most I've ever had is about 12 people. Some of you probably have many more that work for you. I have about 12 people work for me. And I tried to be kind to them and good to them. I don't think I was that bad a boss, but here's what I would do. I just never got sick, and I just never missed work. Never missed work. I look at some of y'all and just think about how many times you push through and or how many times you're just working at home but I would just, man, I had to go. And I think I really got to the point that I believe that if you just got to go. Well, God listens to all those thoughts. Did y'all know that? You see Jesus in the Bible, he goes in the room, he knows everything they're thinking. He still does today. Well, God knew what I was thinking, and I can't tell you the day of the week, I can't tell you the date, but it is just as vivid to me as you say in there in that pew. I arrived at work. I got there early as usual when I was working, and all of a sudden, I started feeling kind of bad. I just had kind of washed on. Man, I'm not feeling well. Oh, I must be getting sick. I'm getting a little cold. I'm getting a virus. Oh, I'm getting sick. Go on 15 more minutes, and it's just getting compounded, Johnny, and I'm feeling even worse. Man, God, I'm not feeling. And then heaven be what had never happened before. I'm like, I think I'm going to have to leave. I might be so sick, I can't stand to go. So I get in my car, and I mean, it's an hour's drive from Charlotte. Some of you make that drive or longer. And I'm riding down the road, and I'm thinking, Lord, please, if you'll just let me get home before I get sick, please. And I mean, I'm just deathly sick, and I get home, and I'm sick, and I'm thinking. And it don't take me but just a few seconds after getting home and being so sick that it's just like that still small voice of God came just as loud as a freight train and said, huh. So you can just work through anything, can't you? Well, no, God, no, I can't. Well, you've been acting like that, and even though you've not said it, you've been treating employees like that. And by the way, I can make it where you can't work. See, God has a way of touching. Now, that's introduction to this message. So I know you won't listen if I continue on the message because of time of day. But join me in this, because it excites me what Lord willing we'll get looking at next Sunday, because I'm going to show you in Scripture. Listen, I'm going to show you three things next Sunday that God showed me in His Word. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, it's a reminder. It's a biblical fact of stuff you felt but didn't quite understand, but simply this. Angels still touch. Y'all believe that? Bible's clear. Angels can still touch. Most important, the Holy Spirit touches. But then the third thing is, He uses people who God's touched to touch us. And so leave today with these simple facts we looked at. Listen, maybe this morning it's time for that turning point. I'm going to call out to God, and hey, this wonderful freedom. All you got to do is come to the altar in a moment and say, oh, Lord, and fill in the blank. Hey, isn't it wonderful to know? I don't think there is a more extreme case than where Elijah had, where he was at the point that said, Lord, I want you to take my life. And you know that not far behind that, Tony, is doing that. Elijah would be not far removed from going in, and if God didn't do it, He'd help him out. But you got to have that. But then at that turning point, and oh, I love this, isn't this wonderful? What do I do, preacher? Nothing. Nothing. You'd be better off to go home, not talk to anybody, not go anywhere, not do anything. If you think you can get your Bible out and begin to read, that's great. If you can't do that, just go home and get in a quiet room or go outside in the woods and just sit and just simply continue to say the same thing. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, I don't understand this, but I want that turning point, and I'm calling out to you. And, Lord, I'm saying this. I'm going to do what the preacher said. I'm going to be Elijah. Hey, listen, maybe you hadn't slept too well in a long time. Maybe you're like Elijah. And maybe this afternoon you'll just fall asleep on the couch, or you'll fall asleep tonight. And just remember that what God is saying is, hey, I'm surrendering. God, I'll wait on you. God knows where you're at. You all right? God don't need my help. He don't need your help. He don't need this church's help. But if you'll just stop and surrender, I promise you, based on the authority of God's Word, and we'll spend an entire Sunday next Sunday, Lord willing, talking about that the touch will come. It'd be kind of exciting if you came to me or leave me a call before next Sunday and said it works. But you don't listen. That's the beauty of it. Don't do anything. I told you about being sick. God taught me a lesson. I never acted the way, felt that way before. Never treated an employee that way again. And in fact, one morning I woke up, could not go, was not physically sick, nothing wrong, could not literally make myself get up and drive to work. It had never happened in my life. I walked in the woods and prayed. I called upon God. I literally got an old preacher's book of Baxter McLennan's sermons, was reading it, and it said that the Holy Spirit was speaking so loudly to him, he felt like he could feel the Holy Spirit speaking to him in the wind. Around my house, the wind was blowing hard, and I didn't even know it had been blowing before. And I just couldn't go. Now, preacher, you don't know what's going to happen to me if I don't go to work. I'm just telling you my testimony. Now, not long after that, I had to yield the call in the ministry. So be careful with those turning points. Be careful surrendering. But today, all you need to do is stop. Would you bow with me? Every head bowed. Isn't it wonderful to know just Elijah? And is there something special about the altar? Yes, there is. Because it's Jesus' house of prayer, it is. But whether it's you come to this altar or there between the pew, would you say, "Oh Lord"? And would you be like Jesus and say, "Lord, here's all I what's going on. But Lord, from this moment forward, your will, your way, your word, not mine." And then wait on him. What am I waiting for, preacher? The touch. What's it going to be like? I have no idea. I don't know what his touch will be like in your situation. We'll spend an entire next Sunday looking at examples of it to help you. But I trust and know, because I felt it, that you'll know. He can transform your life. Maybe you're lost today and you need Jesus. Would you come? Simply let me know that, and I'll have someone, men with men, women with women, go back, open the Word of God, and simply do what we just said. Maybe you've been walking a guilty distance. You need to come lay some things down. You need to surrender. Maybe that God's called you to be a part of this family, to come and serve and to minister in this church. And this is just your act of obedience today to make that public and come forward and set that in stone with him. Whatever the need is, would you come? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.